Today is July 28, 2026. This is your AI briefing for Business Pragmatist. In the next 8 to 10 minutes, we'll cover a reliability benchmark from Meter showing Claude Opus 4.6's task horizon collapsing from 12 hours to 18 minutes depending on the reliability bar you set, a Metro study showing experienced developers actually working 19% slower with AI coding assistance once review time is counted, and two infrastructure moves worth tracking: a Llama's patch fixing multi-turn tool calling failures, and Google making Gemini 3.6 flash the default engine in. Here's the number that should reset every AI deployment timeline on your roadmap: 12 hours. That's the task horizon Claude Opus 4.6 can sustain at 50% reliability, according to Meter, an independent evaluation nonprofit that's benchmarked every frontier model since GPT-4. Sounds like a green light for autonomous deployment, right? Except 50% reliability means the model is wrong or incomplete roughly half the time. Push the reliability bar to 80%, and that 12-hour horizon shrinks to 1.2 hours. Push it to 90%, still well short of production grade, and you're down to 18 minutes. Unsupervised production use requires 99% reliability or higher, and Meter calls that threshold extremely difficult to reach, citing Andre Carpathy's March of Nines concept. Each additional nine of reliability costs roughly as much engineering effort as every prior nine combined. For your board, this is the whole story. Vendor demos run in the 50% reliability regime, long, impressive task horizons under loose conditions. Production environments demand the 99% regime, where those same models are measured in minutes, not hours. Any capital allocation built on demo stage capability claims is building on the wrong curve. That gap shows up again in a separate Metro study, this one cited by CoinBureau's Lewis, and it's arguably more uncomfortable because it's not about frontier limits, it's about today's actual workflows. Experienced developers using AI coding assistance took 19% longer to complete tasks than developers working without them. Not faster, slower. The generation speed of the AI output was real, but the hidden cost, checking, correcting, integrating, ran higher than the time saved. The strategic play for your board is to stop budgeting AI coding tools as headcount replacement and start budgeting them as a reviewed productivity multiplier, sized against your team's actual task complexity rather than a vendor's published pass rate. That reframe alone should change how several pending AI tooling contracts get evaluated this quarter. It also changes how you architect access. Corey Schaefer's source references real incidents of agents wiping production databases when given unrestricted execution rights. The fix isn't a policy memo. It's a permission gate in code, something like a decorator that intercepts any medium or high-risk function call and routes it through human approval before execution, not after. If your engineering org has agents touching production databases or live API keys today without that gate in place, that's the single highest leverage governance fix available to you this month. On the tooling side, two updates matter less for headlines and more for what they quietly fix. Llama shipped version 0.32.1, and rather than a new model, it patches three reliability bugs: multi-turn tool calling context loss in Gemma models, meaning agents were previously forgetting task state mid-chain; a memory leak on Apple Silicon that degraded long-running local sessions; and missing working directory awareness for file-based agent tasks. None of these are exciting on a slide, but they're exactly the class of bug that silently inflates that 19% overhead number from the Metro study. If your teams run multi-step agent workflows on Llama, confirming the version bump before retesting failed workflows is a 5-minute fix with outsized downstream payoff. Meanwhile, Google made Gemini 3.6 flash the default engine across anti-gravity, the Gemini app, Android Studio, and Gemini Enterprise. Google's own benchmark data, and it's worth flagging that these are vendor-reported, not independently audited, claims up to 17% fewer output tokens on the Artificial Analysis Index, and up to 65% lower token usage on select deep SWE coding tasks, with the deep SWE score climbing from 37% to 49%. That's a meaningful adoption curve if it holds under independent scrutiny. Cheaper inference at improved task performance is the kind of shift that moves unit economics on any agentic workload running at volume. The strategic play for your board is to treat this as a pilot-worthy signal, not a budget reallocation trigger. Validate the token savings against your own workload before anyone touches next quarter's cloud spend line. There's a broader architectural risk running underneath all of this. Vendor lock-in. CoinBureau's Lewis frames it correctly. This isn't a procurement footnote, it's a system design risk. ChatGPT quietly downgrades users to smaller models after usage caps. Claude enforces session and weekly limits. Gemini uses tiered usage multiples. And critically, any vendor can reroute your underlying model without telling you. The mitigation is a model-agnostic routing layer with a documented fallback path, so a rate limit or model swap on your primary provider degrades gracefully into a secondary rather than breaking your pipeline outright. Yes, that adds latency and testing surface. You're now validating consistency across two backends instead of one. So this is worth building for workflows carrying meaningful production weight, not every minor integration. Pair that with a second pattern. Permission-gated execution as your default deployment state, not autonomous execution. Ethan Mollick's research, cited via the AI Daily Brief, found that a single permission default, approve first versus autonomous, was the actual variable that determined whether an agent auto-sent an email it should have held for review. Model choice wasn't the differentiator, the permission setting was. Mollick's recommendation is a 60 to 90 day observation window, with logged override rates before promoting any workflow from approve first to autonomous, with promotion gated on the correction rate staying under 5%. That's a governance rule your risk committee can actually operationalize, and it should sit alongside model version drift monitoring vendors update underlying models without notice, so treating version changes as a formal risk register item, checked on an automated schedule, closes a gap most AI deployment plans currently leave wide open. So here's the pairing to carry out of this briefing. The risk. Reliability curves collapse fast under real production conditions, and today's AI coding assistants may already be adding net overhead rather than removing it. Both facts argue against aggressive automation timelines built on vendor benchmarks. The opportunity. Teams that build permission gates, model routing fallbacks, and version drift monitoring now aren't just managing risk. They're building a defensibility layer competitors locked into a single vendor shifting behavior won't have. The organizations that win this cycle won't be the ones deploying agents fastest. They'll be the ones who deployed with the review architecture already in place. Stay strategic. I'll see you at the next briefing. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.